Good evening. Welcome to another exciting, ever-increasing Word Training Center class. I'm so thankful, as always, for my leader. I call him my father because he is an apostle. Dad, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., Mom, Carolyn Thompson, and the entire Royal family, because I honestly love them. And I tell you that there's no greater connection you can have in the earth realm than to be connected properly according to apostolic government. And so God set first in the church apostles. And so I'm so glad that God saw fit to join me to such a man whose life and lifestyle is impeccable. Are you listening? So I thank God for the apostolic call that's upon his life, upon his family, that he's called to train ministers here and around the world. Thank you for all these students tonight who are listening online, virtually, during the midst of this COVID environment, that you would open up the eyes of their understanding that they might receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save their souls, change their paradigm as it pertains to apostolic government. Well, we're going to finish up chapter 6 this evening, Principles for Effective Prophesying, and then we'll move on to chapter number 7, which talks about beginning to move in prophecy. Okay, well, we're going to pick up in chapter 6 where we left off, Principles for Effective Prophesying. Tongues with interpretation. Does tongues with interpretation of tongues equal prophecy? Tongues with interpretation does not equal prophecy for all of the following reasons. Now I must bring clarity to this. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Then verse 2 says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he that speaketh in a what? Unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh what? Mysteries. Now, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul say, let him that speak or pray in an unknown tongue pray that he may what? Interpret. So now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about one of the 9 manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Ghost is diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. That's not the same thing. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, Paul is not talking about diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. He's talking about when you pray in tongues, are you listening? When you pray in tongues, you're praying not unto men, but unto God. Y'all listening? How being in the spirit, you're speaking what? Mysteries. Are you listening? But in diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, you are speaking from God to man. Y'all see the difference? Okay, now go ahead. Let's go through the list of all the reasons why tongues and interpretation of tongues is not equivalent to prophecy. Now remember, prophecy is when we speak a divine utterance in a known tongue to the people present. All right? That's a dime. Diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, being one of the 9 manifestations of the Spirit of God, is equivalent to prophecy. Are you listening? Are you listening? Because diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues are what? Gifts of the Spirit. Just as prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, and the most common one, prophecy, is, and it is the gateway to flowing in all of the other gifts of the Spirit. Are y'all with me? Okay, go ahead. A, tongues first communicate directly to the spirit of men, and then with the interpretation, confirm to his mind what has been deposited and planted into his spirit. Prophecy, on the other hand, communicates simultaneously the word of God to the mind and spirit of men. To the mind and the spirit of men. You don't have to go to God for an interpretation. Go ahead. In prophecy. B, tongues provide only the what? Sense of the message. It communicates the feelings and the intensity of the Holy Spirit to the spirits of men, making them responsive to the flow of God's anointing. Prophecy brings the clarity and the actual words of the word, of the message through its operation. Prophecy does that. C, tongues create an atmosphere of expectancy. When a message in tongues is given, silence follows to allow time for the message to be what? Interpreted. This creates an air of expectancy, causing all ears to listen and attentively focus on what God is about to say. Prophecy, on the other hand, brings the consciousness of God directly into our minds and hearts. D, tongues and interpretation of tongues provides an excellent opportunity and way for training, or for the training of the human spirit. The sense of the message is left upon the human spirit. When the interpretation is spoken, it gives explanation and clarity to what a person initially senses within himself. Thus, the spirit and the mind are taught to work and coordinate together. F, the principle of faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 6, we see that gifts differ according to the grace that comes from God and the measure of faith that rises from within the believer. Gifts not only differ according to the divine enablement of God, but also according to the level of faith developed in that area of our gifting. Grace puts into our lives the necessary enabling and equipping, dealing with all of our fears, limitations, and insufficiencies. Then a new level of faith develops in that area of gifting. A greater assurance of God's strength brings boldness and confidence to use the gifts. Faith rises and releases the supernatural enabling that God has put within us. so that the needs of others are met. In other words, what the writer is saying, it takes faith to prophesy, children. It takes faith to prophesy. Yes, it does. It takes faith to prophesy. You must have confidence that God is speaking this to you. Go ahead. This divine grace that has enabled us will also impart to others the grace that is flowing through us. This is a good time to say that grace does not work without faith, and faith does not work without grace. They work hand in hand. Not only are you graced to do something, but you must have the faith to carry out what you're graced to do. Go ahead. Thus, grace puts into the man and gifts to give out what grace hath put in. Faith draws God's grace into man and releases it through the gifts of the Spirit. G, the principle of liberty. Where the Spirit is made, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty in that place. As long as the Holy Spirit is moving freely in the spirits of men, the Lordship of Christ will be evidently manifested in and through the gifts. If our hearts are filled with abundance of the Spirit, our mouths will speak boldly. H, the principle of timing. Finding and waiting for an appropriate and appointed time to speak is vital to the successful operation of moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts will lose their effectiveness if used at the wrong time. That's why all things must be done decently and in order. Appropriate time. This is when there's a tremendous stirring within our hearts and a urge to speak rises from within, especially after a good time of praise and worship. See, good praise and worship creates an atmosphere for us to prophesy. See, the Bible says when we all come together, every one of us have a tongue. See, prophecy is not no spiritual guru of a thing. All of God, Moses said, I wish that all of God's children were prophets. Because one of the main things, remember, we taught in this class, that prophets prophesy regularly. And just because you prophesy don't mean you're a prophet. But we should not despise prophesying. Are you listening? Any one of God's children can be used in prophecy. And we should desire to prophesy. Are you listening? Why? Because it's one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. It said desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. It didn't say throw the gifts away and just prophesy, because prophecy is one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. Go ahead. Appointed time. In some churches, the meetings are structured in such a way that a specific time is allotted for the operation of gifts. In other churches, the gifts are encouraged whenever the leading of the Holy Spirit is communicated by the leadership. The principle of language. The language that we use in prophecy is within our jurisdiction. Since prophecy is expressed through a human vessel, that person will express it within the structure of their language capacity and their vocabulary. In other words, we will articulate and express it according to what's structured in our soul. Go ahead. The object of our communication must be to bring clarity and conviction and the consciousness of God. Clarity of the message must be conveyed. Convictions of the Holy Spirit must be felt, and consciousness of God must be ushered into the soul. Chapter number 7. Now we're going to talk about beginning to move in prophecy, because I want to get rid of some of these walls that hinder God's people from prophesying. Now, if you've been around the church will make you think you got to be some spiritual guru to prophesy. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, you got to reach some spiritual utopia to prophesy. And some people become professional prophesiers. Okay, go ahead. A, receiving, number one, you got to receive proper authorization to prophesy. The royal messenger cannot proclaim any message the king have not written or decreed. If he does, it would be considered lying. The royal messenger cannot deliver any message the king has not authorized him to deliver, even though he could be right in the facts of the message. He will have to suffer the consequences for overstepping the what? King's authority. That means he did it out of order. Therefore, every messenger must have two prerequisites before he can legitimately proclaim a message from God. He must be able to, one, receive the message itself, and two, receive the proper authorization to proclaim it or to deliver it to the people present. B, how to receive the message of prophecy. In the New Testament, the prophet must be able to hear and also have the ability to discern God's voice and to respond to it. He should not respond to the voice of any stranger, including his own soul and body. Now, that's a very important point. Y'all remember Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Huh? But people have never considered their own voice might be a stranger if it's not properly aligned. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. Once the prophetic system is set up within us, we are able now to communicate the counsel of God. We cannot instruct God, because God is the initiator and beginning of all things. But we can surely participate intelligently with what God is doing. That's called being a co-laborer with God. Like Isaiah, we can too be a part of God's decision-making process. And the words that we declare to the people will be both God's words as well as ours. Now, I want you, oh, Lord, have mercy. I tell y'all, I love reading the Bible. When God came to Moses and said, Moses, I'm come down to deliver my people. I've heard their cry. I've heard their affliction. I've heard their torment that's coming from their oppressors. He said, now, Moses, I'm coming down to deliver them. Now you go. And that's a God say, I'm come down to deliver my children, but I'm sending you. But God goes on to say, and I'm going to put words in your mouth for you to speak. And when I put words in your mouth for you to speak, then that is me speaking through you. Now, most of y'all don't understand. All preaching is prophesying. What? A preacher shouldn't get up here if he can't prophesy. You got to hear from God to deliver a message to people. You can't get up here and babble and ramble and preach Reader's Digest. Okay, go ahead, daughter. The Lord often gives the precise keywords for prophesying. God has specific purpose for giving us the exact words that are required to be spoken. Y'all notice this? God knows exactly why he wants you to say what you are about to say. See, seven ways prophecy comes to us. When we receive the exact words of the message, after a high level of praise and worship, we may feel that God wants to speak through us. This consciousness that God wants to speak fills our minds and our hearts. Then we feel an urge and a stirring to respond to God by tuning in to hear what God is saying. After a time of tuning in, some words or phrases or sentences begin to form within our minds. All that is required now is obedience and faith and faithfulness to deliver the message. Our obedience produces far greater results than what we think. Now, I want to say this before I get there in Matthew 21. Sometime when you prophesy, you don't think you did much. You feel inadequate. Lord, what I said ain't had no impact. But I'm going to tell you something. When you speak the words of God, those words are seasoned with God's grace. Are you listening? I said those words are seasoned with God's grace. And when you really prophesy by the unction of the Holy Ghost, are you listening? It will have impact. Make no mistake about it. As a matter of fact, when you begin to open your mouth, even though you may feel inadequate, the whole atmosphere can change when someone is prophesying under that direct anointing. Go ahead. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 17, the disciples' obedience brought prophecies to fulfillment. Their obedience prepared the way for Jesus to move into Jerusalem. Know what your obedience can do. Continual acts of disobedience can destroy many years of sacrifice and discipline. There's no necessity for second thoughts. If God has already given us his rhema word on the matter concerned. God's clear instructions requires explicit obedience. Number two, when we receive the sense of a message, the Lord may give us a specific spiritual sensing of the Spirit over a given service. He may also give us a clear, precise understanding of what we are sensing. This sensing may be negative or positive. We may sense a spirit of defeat or an atmosphere of lethargy or a spirit of victory or an atmosphere of refreshing. Once the Holy Spirit has confirmed and borne witness to what we are sensing, we need to find the vocabulary necessary to communicate the message. Find the wisest way of presenting what we sense and eliminate the fear of man that pushes us back into the soulish realm. We do not have to rehearse what we intend to say. We only put our thoughts into words as we begin to speak that which we intend to say. If we receive a negative reading of the atmosphere or sense a negative manifestation, we must not communicate or declare the negative that is taking place. Continue to wait on God to receive the positive solution to the situation. Release the input of the positive into the congregation to dispel the negative that is present. Now, this goes back into when I taught you earlier, we have to be careful how we what? Respond to prophecy. Because when the prophecy is being given, the atmosphere can be changed by the people present releasing a what? Negative response. Oh, come on now, children. Don't be in class and get on the short yellow bus. Pay attention. Go ahead. God requires positive input rather than negative exposure. He needs inspirers, not reporters. When the church develops a healthy flow of tongues and interpretation, the believers are trained to sense the intensity, to flow, to force and flow of the Holy Spirit. This development helps to train those who frequently move in prophecy by the sensing of their spirit. It becomes a great tool. It becomes a great tool in educating our spiritual senses and acclimates us to the Holy Spirit's moving. Number three, when we receive the first words, our senses of a message, when we know that what we have received is part of a larger framework of sentences, we need to be faithful to speak out what God is giving us. The rest of the message will be given to us as we keep our minds alert and spirit sensitive to what God has said already. The remainder of the prophecy will come in the same way as the first line has come. And the person must have the boldness to go ahead and speak when all he has to say is just the beginning of a more complete message. What about those who speak out the first line and then they get stuck halfway without any fresh new words? After we have received the first word of the prophecy, many of us tend to switch from God consciousness to man's consciousness. And we begin to think about what people would say and what their responses might be. And if prophecy would be a blessing, in other words, you get in your soul, you get in your head, trying to figure out what people think. Who cares about what they think if this is what God is saying? Are you listening? That's why it takes boldness and faith and faithfulness to move in prophecy. Go ahead. Thus our mind come set on the interests of man and not God. This shifting of attention causes constriction to our receptive ability, ultimately short-circuiting the words or it, the prophecy that God has given you. For this reason, we do not receive any further new revelation apart from the initial sentence, because we have become man conscious. Number four, when we receive a vision or a strong impression in the spirit, in times of worship, the Holy Spirit speaks and communicates his message to our spirits. This message can be transmitted to our mind in picture form or in illustration form. Then the Holy Spirit will begin to give an interpretation of the vision that pertains unto the flow of that particular meeting. When we have received the interpretation of the vision, we need to speak it forth as inspired words. This spoken word also is prophecy. What you looking up there for, to see if we finished? Yeah. What you talking about, Dr. Walker? You have no clue. That's just to let them know what's happening. Go ahead. Sometimes we receive a vision, but without interpretation. Wait on God as what to do next. He may want you to relate only the vision and allow someone else to give the interpretation. A picture is worth more than 1,000 words. He may want you to relate just the vision and let the Holy Spirit give the appropriate interpretation to various ones, according to their specific needs. A vision can be interpreted from so many angles, according to different needs of individuals. And that's especially concerning the people present. Go ahead. An interpretation is different from spiritualization. With spiritualization, each word is attempted to be explained and expounded, which often gets out of context with the essence of the message. It majors in the minor and stretches truth out of the limits of normal interpretation, trying to be all spiritual. We know you're messing it up. Go ahead. Some believers have a problem of seeing too many unrelated visions in a given service. They seem to be receiving visions after vision, especially in worship. Some visions are spiritual indicators for them rather than messages for the church. In other words, it's a message for you and not the church. Go ahead. Some of the things they see are to help them to establish themselves spiritually. Y'all understand this? This is all about building you up. Go ahead. Sometimes believers also have a problem with hazy or even confusing visions. These visions are hazy, are blurred in nature. They thought they see something or saw something, but it was not clear, and they had to guess what it was. Such visions need fine-tuning, and until this is achieved, these visions should not be shared. A hazy vision is a result of an unsettled spirit and mind. Confusing visions breed confusing messages. Always find the essence of the message that God is giving and deliver the message, which is more important than the vision itself. The vision is only a means to communicate the message. Y'all know some people, now pay attention. I'm trying to train you. Sometimes you can get so excited about, I got the vision. You put more emphasis like, oh, I get vision. Hello? Y'all read Acts chapter 2? Your old men shall see visions and your young men shall dream dreams. I'm just trying to show you. This is all in the Bible. Go ahead. Number 5. When we receive an impression or a revelation through a song, prophecy can come to us through a song that is being sung, or to a song that has been brought to our memory by the Holy Spirit. The song becomes or is the basis for the bubbling up and the gushing forth of the prophecy. If we have a prophecy that relates to the song that is being sung, then bring those inspired words of the prophecy immediately after the song has ended. If God continuously uses us in this way, we must seriously consider the following factors. Are you going to bring a prophecy without singing the song? If yes, you need not sing or even mention the song in the course of our prophesying. The song itself was the basis of prophecy. Are we going to prophesy and then bring in a song that was the basis for our prophecy? If yes, we need to know whether we are overstepping the song leader's authority. We need to discern that if the song is going to bring a cross current or a fresh direction to the service, we must not only be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, also have the wisdom of God. Well, read chapter number 7 and 8. And when we come back next time, we'll get into it. Enjoy yourselves this evening.